Hello, cannabis cultivators. Jordan River here, the Navi to your link. Today, we have the great soil guru on the line. We're going to talk about soil inputs. We're going to talk about his awesome journey starting his own company in the cannabis space. Very interesting conversation. I think you will enjoy it quite a bit. Before we get to the soil guru, shout out to Rimrock Analytical. RimrockAnalytical.com is where you can find all sorts of testing, including sex testing, soil testing, nutrient testing, and more. Code GROWCAST gets you free shipping on your test. Save some bucks there. And be sure to send us a screenshot of you using any of our codes to be entered to win free seeds. Email contact at GrowCastPodcast.com. That's the best way to send those. Rimrock Analytical, baby. I love their sex testing because it's fast and easy and accurate. You just clip a cotyledon or a piece of a leaf and you drop it in a vial. No complicated testing process. Ship that vial off with the prepaid shipping label. Bing, bang, boom, you got your sex test back, lickety split. And then you can cull those males. Don't waste time sex testing. Waste time and space and fertilizer and soil and all that. Instead, just stick with Rimrock Analytical. Use code GROWCAST and check out all their other tests. Get your soil on point, plant tissue nutrient testing, whatever you need, they got it. Code GROWCAST. All right, let's get into it with Valen, the soil guru. Thank you for listening and enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, as always, I urge you, spread the show. Tell a grower about GrowCast. Find us on Spotify. Give us a follow. Would you catch every episode? I would appreciate it. Today, we are talking soil. We're always, not always talking soil, but we're frequently talking soil. And today, we have none other than Valen, the soil guru from Environmental Soil Solutions, as our guest. What's up, soil guru? How are you doing today?
Hello, how's it going?
Hey, man, it's good to have you on GrowCast. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm looking at environmentalsoilsolutions.com right now. The website looks great, man. For the listeners, though, can you talk about what got you started into soil and why you started Environmental Soil Solutions?
My love for the environment, honestly, is where it all began. You know, I grew up in the Bahamas. I grew up going outside, gardening with grandma and grandpa. You know, my granddad owned a trucking company. So that's really where the real love, I guess you can say, or the seed was planted, for lack of better words. Nice. You know, I then obviously went through high school. Again, I was a student athlete. So, you know, I wasn't too focused on school and, you know, what I wanted to do as a career, because I wanted to be a pro athlete. You know, that was,
what was your sport?
That was my, I actually still currently play semi-pro soccer.
Oh, no shit. Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, I play for my national team. I've had a few really good achievements on that front of things, but obviously throughout high school and then, you know, being the typical student athlete, I didn't care about school. You know, I was okay with, you know, soccer is going to take me through college. Soccer is going to do this. Soccer is going to do that.
Sure.
And graduating high school, that was a very, very abrupt awakening for me to see that, hey, you do have to do schoolwork as well. You're a student first, athlete second.
Sure.
And that's something obviously I didn't understand. So I went to junior college, you know, still started very, very broad, started a bachelor, an associate's in liberal arts. Because again, I had no take on what I wanted to do in terms of a career.
Sure.
I still wanted to play pro, you know. And obviously, I took a bit more of the science side of classes because science was my thing. I liked the environment, or actually loved the environment, but still no idea of what I wanted to do.
Right.
So I then transferred to Oral Roberts University here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I came in as a sophomore. And obviously at that point, you must know what you're doing in life, you know, in terms of college and in terms of a major selection. You got 2 years left, 2 or 3 years left. So something's got to be,
better
you
got to
have something to figure out.
Right?
Yeah. That's what it was. It was a better decide, you better decide situation. And, you know, environmental science was something that caught my eye. And, you know, my coach was like, are you sure you want to do that? You're only going to start with 12 credits. You know, you're putting yourself back 3 semesters. Do you want to do that? And I was like, this is what I want to do. This is, you know, this is where I see myself.
I love it.
If soccer fails, this is where I see myself. He was like, all right, if you want to do it, then you know, you won't be eligible to play soccer because obviously the NCAA and their requirements for third year students, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, all right, well, great. You know, I'm willing to sacrifice, you know, would I still be on the team? You know, I still train with the team. I still have all the benefits of the team. I'm just not eligible to play. And I was fine with that. I was fine with taking that loss of not being able to play. And I took that loss, you know, and I didn't know what I wanted to do still. You know, I went to my degree advisor and I was like, hey, I want to do environmental science, but I don't want to be in a lab all day, every day. You know, I want to know some side of the business aspect of things. You know, I don't want to just be stuck in a lab. He was like, well, I think I got the perfect major for you. Global environmental sustainability, you know, it's a good mix of science and as well business side of things and just sustainability as a whole.
Damn.
And that literally just flicked the switch for the light bulb in my brain. And I read the degree plan, you know, slept on it and went by his office the next morning and was like, this is what I want to do. This is it right here. This is it. And he was like, okay, well, let's, you know, get everything switched over. Let's get your degree plan going and let's figure out your roadmap from here. You know, I only had 3 years left of eligibility to play soccer and I wanted to play Division I soccer before I graduated. And he was like, okay, well, this is what you got to do. You know, your coach said you got to have this amount of credits to play and this is what it is. So I was like, all right, well, time to pull up my socks, strap my boots in and let's make it happen.
Man.
So I did just that, you know, I grinded it out, you know, took summer classes, I did everything and finished that 4-year degree in 3 years. And it was very trying to say the least. And that's where, you know, my love for, you know, the environment and soil just literally took off. You know, I wrote a senior paper on an area on campus that they couldn't get grass to grow for whatever reason. And the groundskeeper at the time was actually a PGA recognized groundskeeper.
Oh, wow.
You know, so he was a guy that knew what he was doing. You know, may his soul rest in peace. He died from COVID last year, Merle Dry. He was a big guy in the grass and groundskeeping game, you know, big Toro rep, you know, really, really nation known gentleman. So that's where, you know, I wrote a research paper on that area, that specific area. I took core samples, took them back to the lab, basically analyzed each sample for pH, electronic conductivity, salinity levels, like 7 different variables at like 8 different points so I can have a cross section of the area to know exactly what's going on and how to assess the area. And I wrote my paper and gave it to him before I submitted it. And he was like, did you write this? Did you do this? I was like, yes, sir. That's all my work. 100%. I guarantee you no one helped me.
That must have felt good.
Yeah. He was like, wow. He was like, I think this is going to solve our problem.
What was the issue, if you don't mind me asking?
Compaction and salinity levels were too high.
Wow.
So compaction, obviously, being in Oklahoma, clay is a very, very big issue. But that area, for some reason, that specific area, it was the bottom of the hill. So it got runoff from everywhere. I mean, erosion was a very, very big issue. There was, you know, just deposits from uphill, downhill to this specific area of just sand, silt, clay, everything you can think of. And it was, I mean, taking a core sample was hard. Like I had to literally like really, really drive the core sampler in there.
That compacted.
Right. And it, right away, it gave me, you know, I was like, this is the primary issue, obviously.
Damn.
And then through obviously looking at the core sample, just looking at the different gradient in the compaction, I was able to tell right away, you know, and that's how I knew this was truly my purpose because I just have a knack for it, you know, like literally things just click. So, yeah, so it went from that and I graduated college, started working at Apple. I worked at Apple for like 3 or 4 months.
Damn.
Loved it. Great experience. I would go back tomorrow if they bring me in part-time. Like, that's just how much I loved working there. They were actually aiming to send me to corporate in California to be a part of the environmental team. I only needed 6 more months of work experience in the Apple store to be able to be submitted.
What the? That's crazy.
And they were currently looking for young individuals like myself. but things didn't happen the way that I wanted them to, obviously, because at the time my dream was to work for Apple corporate. So it went from that to I went home to play for my national team, ended up getting stuck in the Bahamas because of green card complications.
Oh no.
So I took that opportunity and turned it into running a compost and or one of the managers at a compost and mulch facility in the Bahamas. And you know, that's where my love really exponentially grew. I mean, I didn't know I loved soil this much until I worked there, you know.
It was broader, but then once you got your hands on the soil, you're like, this is going to be my business.
In.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Wow. I honed in a bit more, and the company here in town that I used to work for, well, I wasn't working for them. I was part-time after doing my internship with them. April of 2018, I did my internship, took my spring break, and obviously, as a senior, nobody wants to spend their spring break doing internship, but I had to because I had a goal that I had set out to do. I wanted to graduate by May.
Wow.
And that was the last thing on my checklist, to get my internship hours. So yeah, that company hired me to be their soil production manager upon returning to the U.S. That would have been November of 2019. No, October, sorry. I started work there October 1st of 2019, and 2020, which would have been last year, March, they fired me because I was researching the current recipes that my company sells at home, and they didn't like it. They fired me, and I was like, wow, that's interesting, because, you know, my goal was to make them the best soil company in Oklahoma, you know? So that was like, oh, well, what do I do now? So I had these recipes and I was like, man, I'm going to open my own soil company. How I was going to do it, I had no idea. I had zero idea of what it takes. Obviously, I knew what it takes to run a soil company. Mm-hmm. But in terms of from the ground up, no clue. Because like I said, I was the soil production manager. I ran the day-to-day, ordered the materials, you know, made the recipes for that company. I actually made them four recipes, two of which they only produce currently. Not sure what they're doing the other two, but you know, that's where it lit the fire in me. You know, it pushed me into my purpose, is what I usually refer to it as, you know.
I like that, man.
So when I told my wife, and she was like, so how do we do this? You know, like, you know, how is this a thing? You know, she's from Oregon, so they've got great soil. You know, they don't, you know, they can go outside and throw a plant outside and it's freaking
no, they don't, go crazy. They don't understand. I'm up here in the Midwest. We've decimated our soil. We need help desperately. So yeah, you're totally right though. That's hilarious.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's just, like I said, it pushed me into my purpose. So I got fired on a Monday. I went to Grow Generation on a Tuesday to find out material costs, you know, just all the amendments I need, because they're the only people that I can get it from in bulk without going straight to Down to Earth. So I was like, okay, went in, was getting help, not knowing that the manager of the store was helping me. She was just taking a list. I mean, I'm talking 300 pounds of this, 300 pounds of this. Like, I'm talking big numbers of amendments. And she's looking at me weird. And I'm like, what? And she's like, what are you doing with all these amendments? This makes no sense. Like, are you a grower? Like, what's really going on? And I was like, well, I used to work for so-and-so. I got fired yesterday. I'm looking to open my own soil company. That's what these amendments are for. So she's like, what are you doing now? I was like, nothing. I have no job. I'm looking for a 9-to-5. And she was like, what? Like, you don't have a job? I was like, yeah, I just got fired on Monday. It's Tuesday. I literally just got fired. And she was like, okay, well, let me see. You know, you seem very intelligent. She spoke to me for a little bit longer and she's like, let me see what corporate can do. You know, and I was like,
dude,
yeah,
your life path is crazy. I mean, I hate to like interject here, but I just have to say what I'm thinking, which is, it sounds like you have a lot of serendipity like built into your life path. But then also, like, I'm not downplaying it. Sounds like you just have an incredible amount of focus and clarity on what you want. Like when you talk about all of those building moments up to what you're doing now, like from the discipline, from playing team sports and being on an organized sport to just following your passion. That's really the key. All of it will pay off.
That's all it is.
Yeah, all of it will pay off. Whether it's time spent playing soccer on a you know semi-pro team or time at Apple, that experience, that kind of coagulation of experience pays off in the long run.
I mean, listen, man, Apple has taught me so much when it comes to business. It's absurd. Like, I mean, just little things that I learned working there. It's crazy. It's crazy. So
I admire these types of life paths. Yeah. I just wanted to
it
shoot
gets
that
better.
In.
Trust me, it gets better. So she went to corporate, got back to me Wednesday and was like, hey, corporate offered so-and-so. We have to do a formal interview. They want to hire you on the spot. And I was like, what? I was like, you haven't even interviewed me. They don't even know, you know, like nothing.
That's
she was
crazy.
Like, yeah, I already spoke to you and I know the knowledge you have is something that we need here on staff. You know, there's no soil scientist on staff. There's nobody that knows as much as you know about soil on staff. So to have you here just to help growers choose the right soil is going to make a big difference.
Right.
So I was like, all right, well, what do I need to do? She was like, just send me over your resume. I'll send it to corporate and we'll see what they want to do from here, you know, and see how fast, because we would love to have you on staff tomorrow if we can. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. So I emailed her my resume, took in some hard copies that same day. She got back to me on Thursday and was like, well, she didn't. Corporate got back to me. I got an email straight from Grow Generation Corporate with an offer. I received the offer immediately. I started training on Friday and I was to work on Monday.
Are you still with these guys?
No.
Oh.
So last I worked there and she knew, like she told corporate too, like, hey, this is a guy who's looking to open his own soil company.
Right.
So he won't be here permanently, but this is a stepping stone for him, you know? And they were all for it. Like 100% for it, you know? And
that's super cool.
So I started working on Monday and in did my soil company out of my garage for a bit. Had a buddy of mine that had, you know, some space in the back of his warehouse that he gave to me at a really good rate that I literally could not turn down. And and that's where my home, you know, it went from a 400 square foot two-car garage to, you know, a 6,000 square foot warehouse in the middle of Tulsa, you know?
Jeez, man. And you're moving your own soil now full-time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I left Grow Generation last year, June.
Wow, man.
The end of June. I think it was the end of June. Yeah. So I left and went full time with the soil. It's been a ride. I'll be honest. I mean, it's been very, very trying, but being an athlete, I think, like you said, that built in that discipline, you know, that focus. To keep going, you know, obviously, like if I'm in the gym and I'm trying to squat 400 pounds, 300 pounds, and I can't do it, I'm going to keep going until I get that, you know? And that's a big, big part of, you know, like my drive, I guess you can say.
Man, I like that. That's the character trait of determination.
Yeah, literally. And that's all I've been doing. You know, last year I attended CannaCon as an attendee and handed out business cards and stickers. And this last CannaCon we had in May, my company had a booth, you know, just that alone.
That's so cool. I love hearing stories like this because people say, how do I get into the cannabis industry, right? And they're looking for someone to give them a job as a bud tender, mm-hmm. which is great. But really, it's these alternate paths, these ones where, I mean, not necessarily creating your own business like someone like you, but just these kind of like ancillary ways into the cannabis industry where you're leveraging prior knowledge and prior experience. It just really is. I love sharing these stories for that reason, man. It's very, very helpful to some people I know.
Right. Definitely.
Really, really cool stuff, man. Just really quickly, environmentalsoilsolutions.com. That is the website. It looks like you can pick up the soil if you're in the OK area. You got a couple different blends. Okay, so I want to get into your blends, but first I want to ask you some more broad soil questions. Is that all right?
Of course.
Before we get back to Valen, shout out to Plant Success. Plant Success, baby, aka Plant Revolution. Go to plantrevolution.com, find out more about their products, order some sample kits, try them out. Try out the King Crab, baby. But you can probably find these guys at your local grocery store. They're great friends of the show, and we support every single one of their products. The King Crab is really the one that I recommend the most because it'll work in any setup. Literally, I have not seen one that this beneficial bacteria will not be a total, ready for this, game changer in. Inside joke there. It's a really, really wonderful product, and it's extremely clean. The problem with a lot of the other microbial booster products is, you know, they have a lot of other things in them, but the King Crab I really like because it's extremely clean, and those beneficial bacteria are going to help with nutrient uptake and heat stress and photosynthesizing and so many things. It's going to increase your yield, taste, aroma, all of it. Get that microbiology in your medium. Use King Crab. Visit plantrevolution.com, see all their offerings, and stay tuned for lots of giveaways. If you've met up with me, you've got that King Crab, you've got those samples. So thank you so much to Plant Revolution, aka Plant Success. All right, everybody, let's get back to Valen. Okay, so I want to get into your blends, but first I want to ask you some more broad soil questions. Is that all right?
Of course.
So from the cannabis side, like, you know, we're home growers here. What do you see that soil growers get wrong most often, whether it's the way they're mixing their soil or how they're using properly formulated ones? What do you see in the specifically living soil world, and what do cannabis growers get wrong?
pH. pH is your best friend and could be your worst enemy.
People not pHing?
Yeah, I mean, not pHing and not even that, not having the right components in your blend that would keep that pH stable. Okay. That's the biggest issue. I mean, you can give your soil the right pH water all you want. If there's nothing in your medium to uphold that pH stability, mm-hmm. there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Literally nothing you can do, because no matter what you use, you're going to have pH fluctuations in amendments. You're going to have pH fluctuations because of whether you use peat moss or cocoa or whatever it may be, you're going to have pH fluctuations. So your key is to make sure that you have the components in that blend to make that pH as stable as possible. My blends, for example, like through research and development, I've hit some plants that are in my, that have been in my Magic Blend Living Soil with a pH of 8.2 for a week, with the pH staying stable, 6.8, 6.9. The highest it went was 7.1. And then I did the same thing to the same plants on the opposite end of the spectrum. I water them at 5.8, pH it down to 5.8 for a week. No issues. The pH came down to 6.4, I think it was. So, you know, that just proves the stability of the medium itself, you know, and that's, again, that's something that people don't understand. You know, the typical issue response to any issues, late veg, early flower, is CalMag, CalMag, CalMag. When in reality, that's not the issue. If you check your pH first, then you'll see that there's no availability of CalMag. So if your soil isn't within that range to be, make that bioavailable for your plant, you're trying to give a solution to a problem with no diagnosis.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense.
So, and that's definitely why I tell people, before you run to the internet and ask people questions, find out the pH of your medium. That's going to be the biggest battle you're going to fight, whether it's trying to bring it down or raise it up. You know, and because if you don't put that into your medium, have that cooked in and let the microbes break that down initially, then you're going to be in for a battle in the long haul.
Right. What about soil pH probes? I use those green.
Them.
Yeah, they work good. Like just the cheap online ones that I grabbed. I've never
used them. I use Blue Lab.
Okay.
They've got a combo meter that I absolutely love and I swear by. It's never let me wrong as yet. I've had people had tons of issues with the same exact meter I have, and I just don't see how you have issues. You just take care of your probe, you know, you calibrate it on time. Once you calibrate your probes on time, as recommended from the manufacturer, you'll be fine. You know, store it in the KCL solution that you're supposed to store it in, and you'll be fine, you know. And there's a lot of people that don't do that, and then they stick their probe in their soil and their soil is saying something way out of whack.
Yeah, that's a really funny thing. That's a really funny thing you bring up, man, because I use a Blue Lab liquid pH tester for my water.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard people complain about Blue Labs falling apart, Blue Labs not holding up. Mine is the same, except I don't take good care. I abuse my Blue Lab and it still does well. Yeah. I wonder if it's just like literally unit to unit how it's manufactured. It's got to be a very delicate instrument being balanced.
I've literally had that exact same experience.
People in my member chat going, oh, this Blue Lab fell apart and it was a replacement. And I'm going, mine is really working. I don't know. Maybe it's environmental. Maybe it's unit
just
to
taking
unit.
Care. It's taking care of your probe.
Gotta take care of your unit, man.
You have to. If you take care of it, it takes care of you. That's the bottom line. And that's how it is with anything. You know, if you listen to your plant's going to grow properly.
It's going to respond in kind.
Right. The plants tell you exactly what they want. You know, and within 24 hours, you can go from happy to very angry plant.
Right.
And if you don't pay attention to the signs, then you'll never catch that issue before it becomes a very angry plant.
That's exactly
right. So it's crazy.
Back to the pH. I know there's like no one correct solution because that pH is determined by all the different inputs you choose to use in your blend.
Absolutely.
And there's so many different types of inputs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just kind of tough. I know you use you use lime in your soil mix. Do you not?
Yes, I do use dolomite lime. So I use dolomite lime as a pH adjuster. I've got multiple pH stabilizers in there.
Okay.
I got dolomite. I got oyster shell. I've got gypsum that also helps as well with stabilization. So there's a good artillery, I guess you can say, for pH stabilization. And obviously the microbes are a very huge part of it. The microbes do a very, very big job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely necessary. One thing that I see about your mix that I don't see in others is the use of both perlite and rice hulls. Usually I see one or the other. Why both?
So I actually got rid of perlite. I don't like perlite. It's not sustainable at all. The way it's made.
I was kind of surprised to see it on there. I don't want to say anything.
Even in my... Yeah, no, that label you're seeing is an old label.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right before CanaCon, we released our pumice stone recipe.
Oh, shit.
I actually had that pumice recipe built before because I knew there was going to be a perlite shortage. So I had this recipe made from last year, November. I just didn't implement it because I was still riding the perlite horse until it died. So obviously, the minute the perlite horse died, I was like, all right, time to switch over to pumice.
Nice.
You know, because I had already done the R&D on it. I knew it worked, you know? But back to your question, why rice hulls and pumice in the instance now is because rice hulls is a very, very good amendment and people don't know it. One, it has plant available silica.
Uh-huh.
Two, it's organic. So eventually it'll break down into a no-till environment.
Right.
And three, what it does is it creates a wicking network almost. So rice hulls, if you've got them in the right concentration and the right ratio, they actually help with your water penetration.
Oh.
So if they're connected head to head, or, you know, one's diagonal and one's vertical, or it creates a network almost.
Whoa, like flumes.
Exactly. You got it. That's exactly how it works.
I've never thought about that before. So better like water distribution. If you're watering uneven,
it helps big time. And even worse, if you use a wetting agent like yucca or any of that other stuff in your organic regimen, that just literally puts the whole thing on cocaine is what it does, honestly.
Ooh.
But yeah, so I mean, that's the three main reasons why I do use rice hulls. The reason why I switched obviously to pumice stone is because it's a lot more sustainable in terms of the way it's made.
Right.
It's a stone. It's not something that's blown from a volcanic ash like perlite is. The dust from it, it's not volatile like the dust from perlite.
Mm-hmm.
Perlite is almost like tiny glass shards if you get it into your lungs. It's very, very, very dangerous. So, you know, it was more so for the safety of me and my worker. That was the prime reason. And then obviously sustainability too. You know, it's just volatile in terms of its availability.
Yeah, and it goes
volatile
everywhere.
In a sense of, right, in a sense of price as well. Very expensive.
Oh, shit.
And it's expensive because of cannabis tax. I mean, whether you like it or not, that's what it is. These perlite suppliers know that 80%, 70% of their sales are cannabis growers. You know, you've got companies like Sungrow Horticulture that Sunshine Mix number 4 went up 52% last year.
Right.
You know, in their sales, you know, and that's merely because of the cannabis industry.
I'm not saying that it's right. I see what you're saying, but I also see the free market. Like, I think they see their head on the chopping block. Like,
correct.
The Perlite is only being used because it's in style. There's so many other great options. So I kind of feel like they're just trying to make hay while the sun is shining. And again, I'm not like defending cannabis tax. I think it's ridiculous that you take the exact same, you know, microbial formulation or fungi formulation or nutrient formulation and you sell it to cannabis growers and you upcharge it. I do think that that's, you know, kind of nasty to begin with. But I will say, I think those Perlite guys, they might see their head on the chopping block and say, hey, listen, we got to cash in while we can, because as soon as they learn that we're nothing special, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they're just
right.
Growers are going to stop using it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, a big part of it is just education. I mean, that's what it is in this industry as a whole, you know, whether it may be here or wherever it may be.
Yeah,
you
your
know?
Grow store or a convention or... It's all about the education.
And to me, that's the biggest part right there. You literally hit the nail on the head. Grow stores don't understand the job or the importance. Not that they don't understand.
A lot of them don't. I mean,
what you feed is just like going to school and your teacher's telling you something. If your teacher tells you that, that's usually most of the time you take that as gospel.
Yeah.
most of the time. So if I go to a grow supply store asking questions, trying to get answers for things that I don't have answers for, I'm going there with the mind of these guys are reputable. So they sell the products, so they should know about the products. Hence why I take such big responsibility on educating my retailers. You know, like Skunk Grow Supply here, you can go to any employee at any Skunk Grow Supply that sells my soil, which in all of them do. They've got 3 stores. And they can riddle you off the ingredients, what goes into it, you know, questions that you have about it, frequently asked questions. I tell them, listen, if you have a question and you don't know the answer, call me. You've got my number, call me and let me give you firsthand knowledge of what you can tell this customer so that you're not misinforming them. Because now if you misinform them on my product, now I get the rap for it.
That's true, man. I never really thought about it from that perspective.
And I have a small company. I have a very small company, you know, so
you can't get that bad review. Exactly.
I can't afford for it to happen. You know, that's the reality of it. I'm not Fox Farm. I'm not, you know, Charcoal. I'm not these big companies that can, you know, oh, okay, well, I'll give you 5 free bags for you to shut up. Like, no,
yeah,
I can't afford it.
I'll send you 2 lights. You got a bad light? I'll send you 2 more. Just give us a good review.
They
literally say that. Yeah. And the growers are like, okay, like, I get it. 2 free lights. I'm not blaming the grower either, really.
Exactly. You can't blame them. You absolutely cannot blame them.
It's too funny, man.
You cannot blame them.
That is super funny. But you're right. It's tough because who knows everything about growing cannabis? I mean, I've spoken to so many people on this show and no one claims to know everything. They all have their little niches here or there.
Uh-huh.
So to think that you're going into a grow store and you're going to get all the questions answered, that's very rare. There are some killer grow stores out there, but I mean, just walk into a random one, it's like, it's so rare that you'll find somebody who's going to be able to answer any question you have. That's ultra rare.
Yeah, that's crazy. And again, I'm sustainably minded. Like everything I do, like my company, we only send, I think, 7% of our waste to a landfill. Like we recycle 93% of our waste.
Whoa, that's cool.
Because all of our waste usually comes in plastic or paper bags from down to earth. So I have all of that stored in totes, literally just sitting in my warehouse. So when I get a big amount, I just get a recycling company to drop a container at my place and I empty it all in the container.
Nice.
You know, like I do these things because that's just where I am mentally.
I love it.
You know, because I know if I send these things to the landfill, the plastic bags are just going to be tossing everywhere, flying everywhere. And the last thing I want to see is, you know, my gypsum comes in a plastic bag, obviously, because it needs to be protected from the elements through shipping and storage and whatever it may be, because gypsum can break down as soon as moisture is involved. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I see a bag that my gypsum comes in on a tree on the side of the street, that would drive me nuts. You know, like that's just my environmental sustainably side of my brain.
Right.
That's just how my brain works essentially. You know, so I do my best on my end of things to make sure that it's all done, you know? And then again, I give the customers in the end a clean, organic product that I can stand by day in and day out. You know, like I'm not going to tell you there's peat moss in my blend and I'm giving you a bunch of sawdust from a wood mill.
Right.
You know, that's what companies do. What do you think, not calling names, aged forest products is on some of these companies' labels?
Sawdust?
That's all it is. It's sawdust from a mill.
Damn. It's aged, though. It's aged. It was aged on a truck.
Or at their facility.
Yeah, while it sat in the back. While someone's sitting on it playing Tetris.
These are things that people don't take heed to. Like the next time you see, again, I hate to call people's names, but the next time you see Ocean Forest or Happy Frog, open a bag and look very close at it. It's sawdust. It's wood. It's wood chips. Right,
yeah.
Little pieces of wood.
Ocean Forest does have a very strange consistency.
Exactly. But people don't know. If you don't know, if you don't look at it and see that there is literally, like I opened a tote. I was that skunk just delivering soil and they had a cubic yard tote of Ocean Forest sitting there. And I opened the tote and I dig my hand in and literally you can see that it's sawdust. There's no hiding it.
Wow.
You know, I'm not saying that they don't put peat moss in it. There is peat moss there. And that's why it retains moisture well and it drains well, you know, because they substitute these things and do these things. And, you know, again, I'm not one to talk on the competition or talk negative about the competition because that's something I learned at Apple. You know, that's literally forbidden at Apple. Like you can't talk bad about the competition.
Right. You always talk about yourself.
You never see an Apple worker talking about an Android in a negative light. The only thing we were able to say that they are great devices. That's it.
That's wild, man.
You know?
That's super
wild. And it's the same thing with me. You know, I try not, and again, not saying that their soils are bad. Their soils are, they do the job.
Yeah, totally. But you're shining some light on some stuff that I hadn't heard. And I like that insider perspective.
Right.
But yeah.
For sure.
You know, it's funny because I've seen I do like a nice woody mix.
Uh-huh.
I've had some Purple Cow organic soil and it has little twigs in it, but it's different than what you're talking about. With the Ocean Forest, it's almost like a chippy. It almost feels like chips.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's interesting that you pointed that out. So
because
some mixes are very homogenous, you know what I mean? And almost just like heavy dirt, whereas other ones are kind of sticky and twiggy and that sort of thing.
Yep.
I know you have compost in yours. Does yours have very many sticks and twigs or is it very, very
not
fine?
Not really. My compost gets double sifted. It
Whoa.
Actually comes from a company in Missouri they have an agreement with the Mizzou Tigers. So a lot of food scraps, all of the food scraps from the Mizzou Tigers, that's what they compost.
That's
so
dope.
It's all organic. The company is actually OMRI listed. Not that that means anything because, you know, it only takes paying a price tag to be a part of that.
Oh man.
You know, again, these are things that all of my suppliers, I've visited every single facility. The only supplier I haven't visited is Down to Earth. And I mean, their product speaks for itself. So for me to go and visit their, you know, facility is a bit, you know, far fetched. But, you know, in terms of my compost, earthworm castings, all these things, I know for a fact it comes from a clean organic facility.
That's killer, man. I want to dig in on what you said about OMRI. I work in the coffee industry, and there's mm-hmm. so many certifications that are just pay to play. Do we need an organic cannabis certification? Would that, I mean, obviously, depending on how it was written, in your eyes, would that be a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it would be a good thing, but bad thing in the light of monopoly. There's a lot of that going on in the industry. There's a lot of monopolization going on. There's a lot of being bought out going on. And I mean, let's be honest. If Monsanto or Scotts Landscaping comes to me tomorrow and offers me $10 million for my company, how do I say no?
I mean, that is a choice that everyone would think that they would turn down, but virtually no one would.
No one.
Just the way that humans work, virtually nobody.
Yeah. And I mean, again, how long would it take for me to see $10 million in selling my soil?
Right.
You know, and obviously, okay, I signed an NDA. Well, great. I could sign an NDA. That doesn't mean someone else can't open a soil.
Yeah,
company.
That doesn't mean shit, dude. People have come to me with that with that kind of thing, too. And I'm like, you need a patent. is what you're looking for. Like,
An NDA doesn't protect you federally.
Exactly.
You know, it protects you on a state level. And a lot of people, and again, that's just a lack of knowledge. You know, people don't understand that, hey, like, the only federal protection, and even again, like, you know, you're not even entirely protected federally with a patent or a copyright.
Right. They'll still steal your idea, alter your idea, whatever, right. Buy you out.
Because with a patent, like, I quit doing all the paperwork for it because it literally wants my recipe down to the digits, you know? So until I can say, okay, it's worth doing that, then I won't get it patented. Now, here in a little bit, I'm probably going to get it patented because we're looking to expand and we're going to be a little bit bigger. So I may have eyes on, you know, I may have people with eyes on me like Monsanto or these other big groups. You know, I may have GrowGeneration looking interested in investing in me. You know, like when I left on a great note. You know, I shop there and my GP is set at 10%. They make 10% on anything I buy there, you know, just because of the great relationship that I left there with. You know,
that's
but
cool.
Again, who knows? You know, like, I'm going to say it again. It'll be hard for me to turn down $10 million.
I don't know who could.
You know, I mean, take other companies, for example. You know, like, there's companies like Vermicrop Organics in California. They were bought out by Scotts Landscaping for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Wow.
You know, like, how do you turn that down?
You can't, man.
Literally, I can't. Personally, I can't turn that down. I would be a fool to turn that down.
If you have a family, you can't turn that down.
And that's exactly what I have, a family.
Nobody's turning that down.
Yeah. If you're single and you can go ahead and put, you know, like me, like for instance, I can't sit at my warehouse and make soil until 10 a.m. anymore. You know, when before I had a child, that was a thing. You know, my wife was fine with that. I was fine with that. But now I have to be a present father. I have to be a part of my daughter's life, you know? So to say that I'm going to come in at 9 a.m. and work until 10 p.m. at night, I don't see my daughter. I see her when she wakes up, but I don't spend any time with her. You know, I'm not there for bath time. I'm not there to put her to sleep.
That's the business owner's life, man. Yeah,
exactly. You know, whether I come home, do those things and go back to work, now that's a different situation. You know, I'm still present at home and then I'm still present at the business, you know, and that's where my business is at now. It's to the point of where I have to now step back and let the business do its business and go ahead and now make things happen on out of production, you know, like marketing and things like this, you know, like right
higher
now
level.
I've got my worker prepping for me to go in and mix as soon as I get done with this meeting. So these are things that I have to do to take it to the next level.
Man, super interesting stuff here. We're coming close to the end of this episode. I just didn't know this was going to be so, like, you gave a lot of good business-oriented advice and, like, cannabis industry occupation advice. So really good episode, man. I appreciate you taking the time today to do this.
Absolutely. No problem, man.
We got a little bit of time left, though. I do like to ask this question to soil mixers specifically.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a silly question, but I think that you'll have an answer for it. If you could wave a magic wand and make one input or one unenvironmentally sustainable practice disappear, and it doesn't mean that these people lose their jobs. If you make liquid nutrients, bottled nutrients go away, or you make perlite go away or whatever, it just means that it's gone. It's magically vanished and growers will no longer have to deal with it. What would be your least favorite input or input that you would banish forever?
Oh, man. Perlite.
It would be perlite?
Yeah, it would 100% be perlite. Like, I mean, there's no other question about it. But again, there's things that people don't know that are very dangerous as well. Like, you know, like, for instance, kelp meal and bat guano. You know, you have those in too much of excess. Like, I'm talking just a tip of a spoon. You know, you do 3/4 of a cup instead of 1/4 of a cup, you know, that can lead to heavy metals in your soil.
Whoa.
And you don't know that as a home grower. You know, if you're building soil at home, you don't know that because you don't send your soil to a lab to be tested.
Right.
You know, so kelp meal is a very, very big one. Just think about it. Kelp is harvested from the ocean. What runs through the ocean all day, every day? Metal ships.
Wow.
There's sunken metal everywhere. These plants are bioaccumulators. So they're going to take in these things. You dry out this kelp, you ground it up and make it a powder. And now that heavy metal has gone nowhere.
Damn.
You know, and I'm not saying that you're going to come to a point of you're going to have zero heavy metals. That's impossible. The problem is having safe levels of heavy metals. You know, the EPA sets standards of heavy metals and growing mediums for a reason. You know, and that's something that I prize my company on. You know, like arsenic levels are like 1.6 parts per million.
Right.
And the EPA's requirement for it, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, I actually don't have to remember it off the top of my head because I have it all here in my handy dandy notebook.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so the arsenic maximum concentration for heavy metals in a medium is 75.
Whoa.
I've passed it by, I think, the passing rate is 99.9% or 98%.
Let me ask you something really quickly, because you made a really good point, because home growers are not testing their inputs. Absolutely not. And the organic inputs are the ones that can come tainted a lot of the time with these types of issues. Now, I've been told, and I recommend, people use a lake bed or seabed derived humic acid for that reason to tie up those heavy metals. How effective is that? Like it's got to be your work. Is it? Yeah. Like, does it get rid of them?
It's effective, but you still got to be careful because you got to remember now, humics, any type of humic or humate provides more bioavailability of trace minerals.
That's true.
So if you're doing that, now you're going to bring availability of many other things, you know? So, and that's where R&D comes in. You know, you've got to do the R&D on it to really know or understand what's really going on in your medium. You know, that's a very, very big part. And a big part too is people, obviously there's all of these recipes online. I mean, there's Coops, there's Subcool, may his soul rest in peace, amazing guy, freaking loved him. Definitely an idol for me. But you can't take these recipes that people post and take them for gospel, because you've got to remember, your compost is not going to be the same compost they have.
Right.
You know, your earthworm castings won't be the same as theirs. You may have a little bit less nutrients than they do have. Your amendments aren't going to be the same. You know, so these are things that people don't really take into account, and in the tail end can potentially hurt them, you know, because they just think this recipe is crushing it, this recipe is great, but, you know, are your inputs exactly the same inputs that he used or she used in their recipe? You know, these are things that we have to take heed in, and that's why research and development is such a very, very important part of soil building, you know. And again, I'm not saying I'm knocking or telling people not to make soil at home. Absolutely not. You know, that's where my company started, in my garage, literally. Wow. But I did the research and development of sending it back and forth to the lab multiple times, you know, spending the necessary money that it takes to know what's in the soil. So again, it's anything in relation to soil is usually a rabbit hole. And can lead to, you know, because it's all in synergy. You know, there's everything in soil has a role. And if you've got it playing its role in the way it should be, then you don't have to worry about it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think that it's just, like you said, almost everything is a rabbit hole. And the organic gardener's path is definitely
a rabbit hole.
The organic gardener's path is a less straightforward one than the bottled nutrient grower's path. But
definitely bottled nutrient. And I mean, and that's something my company's I'm working on now, doing a lot of R&D on now, is just dry amendment packs or nutrient packs that you can just top dress. Just similar, very similar to how Roots Organic has their turp teas.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which, and we have already released a grow and bloom tea. It's not released as yet. I released samples at Canicon.
Ooh.
But we didn't have, I'm figuring out a little bit more packaging stuff on my end so that, you know, when you get it, it doesn't have mold growing or anything like that. But again, that's all a part of R&D and making it happen as a company. So, but yeah, I've got some really, really great mentors on my side. And they're definitely helping me go to the next level, you know?
It's killer, man. This interview flew by.
Yeah.
EnvironmentalSoilSolutions.com at Soil Guru. Is there an underscore in there?
Yes, underscore. At Soil Guru underscore. And then Environmental SS. At Environmental SS is the company's IG page. My page is more so of the day-to-day. You know, I show you everything on a day-to-day basis that goes on with the soil company. The company's page is business, you know, the need to know is posted on there. But nice. If you want to see the day-to-day operation, you know, it's straight down to me having to go and pick up material. That's all posted on my personal page. So tap into both pages, definitely. Check out our website. And we actually have a new website coming out here in a little bit. I'm doing some more work on it here. It's just going to be thesoilguru.com. So nice. We got a lot going on, and you know, we're following the steps, the roadmaps that were set by many, many companies before. I mean, two companies that I look up to, you know, Build the Soil out in Colorado. Jeremy, he is a freaking wealth of knowledge. Nice. I mean, literally a wealth of knowledge. You know, sometimes if I can't get material, I go ahead and get a lot of material shipped in from them. And then another company, the Soil King Garden Center out in Cali.
Oh, sure.
The Soil King.
Yeah,
great guy. Love the guy, man. Love him. Great, great guy. I'm actually talking to them right now because my pumice supplier is 2 weeks out and they can get me some pumice stone here within a week. So I'm probably going to be ordering some pumice stone from them in a little bit. But yeah, definitely two great companies, great soil blends. And I love what they stand for as companies, you know, and that's what we need more of in the industry.
Man, it's really cool to see people like you creating your own business, following your own path, but still collaborating. And this is just a great interview, man. You're a first time guest and you really hit it out of the park. So thank you for sharing this time and sharing your story with the GrowCast universe.
No problem. And like I said, if anyone has questions, just shoot me a DM and I answer them as soon as I could get around to answering.
Nice. I love it. All right, everybody. Give Soil Guru a follow. Follow the show at GrowCast. And we'll see you next time. For now, this is Soil Guru and Jordan River signing off. Do you want to say something there, Soil Guru? I saw your phone.
Have a great day.
All right. We'll see you next time, everybody. Be safe and grow smarter. That's our show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Before we wrap it up, going to give some love to AC Infinity. Have you seen that AC Infinity now has scissors, fabric grow pots, tents, and more? Not just fans. Code GROWCAST15 saves you 15% site-wide, and be sure to send a snapshot of you using our codes. Email that to contact@growcastpodcast.com. And you'll be entered to win free seed! But yeah, AC Infinity, man, they're really stepping up their game. Their tents look sexy as, I mean, we have members running their tents who love them. And now they've got these real clean-looking fabric grow bags with pre-installed grommets for low-stress training. And they look really fly. Check out acinfinity.com if you haven't been there for a while. And of course, upgrade your fans. They got the best fans in the game. A lot of people imitating. But AC Infinity is the best, baby. Code GROWCAST15. All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed today's show. We will be in Sacramento in 2.5 weeks here at the end of the month. There is a meetup, growcastpodcast.com/Sacramento, to find out details. That meetup is on July 31st. That's the last Saturday here of the month. So if you're in the NorCal area, you want to come say hi, smoke, and hang out, we will just be doing a nice little fan meetup up there. Super excited about that. Thank you all for tuning in. Special thank you to the members at patreon.com/growcast. But I just appreciate you tuning in and listening. I hope that you will continue to glean information, and it's my pleasure to continue to broadcast for you. All right, we'll see you next time. Jordan River signing off. Bye-bye.